to another edition of the Detroit Sports Week on the Tom Green Podcast. I think we all saw what happened last night at Gayha Field at Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City. I will react to that in just a couple of minutes. But first, let's start with the Detroit Tigers on the Detroit Sports Week. And we'll be quick. We'll be pretty brief with that because, well, we're reaching that time of the year where now Detroit is not mathematically eliminated from the postseason picture, but it's to the point now where we just know that the end of the season is going to be on the season's final day rather than in the middle of October. So we'll just go ahead and putz through that, and we'll get to the Lions here in just a minute. So 4-2 week for the Detroit Tigers. Sweep in Chicago, which was really cool to see. I got to witness it in person. If you follow my personal Twitter at TomTV23, you saw a lot of great highlights, including when I got a ball from Oscar Colas, the White Sox right fielder, as I was in section 108, and I gave it to a kid that was sitting a couple seats by me, and he and his father were very, very pleased about that, and the dad couldn't thank me enough for giving this kid a, not necessarily a foul ball, but a ball thrown to me in the stands. You know, when you're an adult, you love seeing you love getting the foul ball. You do, but as an adult, you got to give it to a kid. And that's exactly what I did. And a couple days later, here I returning to the office from my day job, I went out to lunch to McDonald's real fast, and the guy in front of me paid for my order. So really what goes around comes around, and that was really cool. That was a really cool experience. Another cool experience, and I cannot stress this enough, that it was cool. Sunday night in Chicago, I was looking for a bar to watch LSU Florida State. And the first bar that popped up was the Standard Bar in Chicago, near the Division Street stop on the Blue Line, when you take the L in Chicago. And I walked into the bar, and Barstool Sports' Megan Making Money was there. And let me tell you, my friends, that was a fun night. LSU may have lost the game to Florida State, but it was cool to finally meet Megan Making Money on Barstool Sports. Like I've said before on this show, I'm friends with Kelly Stewart, Kelly in Vegas. And I got to make that connection with Megan Making Money, Astros fan, LSU fan. And at some point, hopefully, El Presidente Dave Portnoy will allow me on the show, or at least them on the show. But that was a lot of fun, chilling with Megan Making Money, having a few drinks, having a lot of fun, despite the result of that game. That was a lot of fun. So special thanks to Megan Making Money for that. Back to the Tigers, the Detroit Tigers, that is. 4-2 week. Decent week, sweep in Chicago, nearly swept in New York to take away that momentum. But now we're kind of seeing that maybe the Tigers heard that I was very discontent with their play over the last week and maybe stepped it up a bit. Miguel Cabrera had a four-hit night on Friday night in Chicago, but Player of the Week goes to Spencer Torkelson, as he blasted two home runs Thursday night, eight hits, and I believe 11 driven in, if I'm not mistaken, over the last week. So Spencer Torkelson gets my nod for the Player of the Week for this week. And as for the next week's games, we have the White Sox again, this time in Detroit, and the Cincinnati Reds. So Cincinnati Reds are looking for a playoff spot, so there you could look at a potential to play spoiler. If a nice week happens there, that would be great. But again, at this point, there really just aren't any expectations because Detroit's nine games back. We figure that, Detroit nine games back. We figure they're out at this point. It's the Twins and the Guardians, and that's it. The Guardians and the Twins have played each other, I believe, twice over the past week and a half, and basically the Twins kind of took care of business there. We were hoping for perhaps Cleveland to win a couple more, or perhaps then to beat each other up. That didn't necessarily happen. Detroit stands at 9 back, and virtually it's basically over at this point. We'll still talk a little Tigers, at least for the last few weeks of the regular season, because they're playing. But in terms of playoff, anything of implications like that, it's over, simply because there's no time left. 9 games back, what is it, 20-some-odd games to go. Mathematically still possible, but just not likely. The Twins have basically won this division with the last week and a half against the Guardians. So there's that. As for the Detroit Lions, I realize that PG-13 rules do not allow me to swear more than once. And thankfully, in this aspect, it's for the best of reasons. But because I can swear once, I am going to choose to swear once in this moment about the Detroit Lions. And I'm going to say, holy shit, that was a great win. It really was. I mean, I was on this show just a couple of days ago, previewing the 53-man roster and saying that I was going to sit here not surprised if they were 0-2. Maybe Dan Campbell and the Lions heard that and responded in the best way. Never have I been more happy to be wrong about a prediction on the Detroit Lions than seeing that victory in Kansas City. And this tells me the sky's the limit for this team. I'm going to play to you the audio of Dan Campbell in the locker room provided by the Detroit Lions on their Facebook page. I'm going to play this audio, and this tells you what kind of coach and what kind of team this team is going to be.
Let me ask you this. Did we expect to win that game? Because we built that f***ing way. Everything we talked about was how it went down. We had to be patient, man. Offense, we go all the way down and score. Defense, we need a takeaway. We come out at halftime, we get a huge takeaway. Yeah, baby. Told you guys, we're built for this. We can overcome anything as long as you guys just f***ing hang with it. We got a ton to clean up when we get back. But until then, enjoy this.
Oh, yeah.
And remember this feeling, that wasn't perfect. We stick together. We are built for this, boys. We are built for this. 2-0 next. Let's go. 1-0-3, 1-2-3.
And that's exactly what Jared Goff said. They were built for this. They were built for it. And they did it in week one. I am ecstatic. I am very happy. And like I'd said, the sky's the limit for this team. Break down a few numbers. Jared Goff, 253 yards passing, 1 touchdown. David Montgomery, 74 yards on the ground, 1 touchdown. Let's see. Receiving, Josh Reynolds was the leader with 80 yards on 4 receptions. Amon-Ra St. Brown, 71 yards on 6 receptions and a touchdown. As far as the Chiefs went, Patrick Mahomes, 226 yards, 2 touchdowns. He was also the leading rusher, 45 yards. And he had a host of receivers that he threw the ball to, of course. Marquez Valdez-Scantling, Justin Watson, Noah Gray, Isaiah Pacheco, Rice, Bell, Jerick McKinnon, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Kadarius Toney was virtually non-existent, as we see in the memes on Facebook and Twitter. But nonetheless, did I think the Lions played their best game of the year? No. Do I think the Lions played like garbage, as some people on Twitter are trying to indicate? No. I mean, you played the Super Bowl champions, and you beat the Super Bowl champions. To beat the best, or to be the best, you have to beat the best. And guess what Detroit did on Thursday night? They beat the best. Again, they didn't play their best. I mean, They had to fake punt on fourth down early in the game, to where a lot of people were thinking, oh my God, what is Dan Campbell doing? Typically, your best game does not involve a fake punt. Your best game also does not involve a 39-yard strike and a 28-yard strike right after that. Okay? Dan Campbell said it in his post-game speech. They have a lot to clean up. Okay? This team is not necessarily perfect, nor should they be at this point. You want to be perfect in February. You don't want to be perfect in September. But bottom line is, The sky is the limit for these guys. And it excites me like crazy that they beat the Super Bowl champions in their home stadium, spoiled their banner-raising ceremony, spoiled it completely. And now they get to go home and face the Seattle Seahawks and unveil the statue of Barry Sanders, to which David Montgomery, Jahmyr Gibbs, a few Barry Sanders-like rushes. Now, not necessarily completely like that, but still, that offensive line, man, that offensive line's the real deal. That defense containing Patrick Mahomes. That's all you had to do was contain him and force him to throw to a host of different receivers. That is exactly what they did. And so, the sky's the limit for this team. I am so excited to be wrong, and I was called out on it a few times. Once even being called a Kansas City fan and then a Seattle fan. I just tried to give it to you straight. I just tried to give it to you real. But maybe the Lions heard that and said, hey, Tom, we're going to give it to you real. And they proved me wrong. And I am sitting here very, very happy that I have been proven wrong. I've said it before on the old version of the show. The prove me wrong game. That was the ultimate prove me wrong game that Detroit had. And guess what they did? They proved me wrong. We will preview the Seattle game next week, as we have 10 days now beforehand. But a game that we absolutely have to preview, because it's tomorrow, after this recording, is Michigan and UNLV. Michigan, a 98.4% favorite to UNLV's 1.6%. Do I really have to go over all these numbers? J.J. McCarthy, 280 yards, 3 touchdowns. Brumfield, 86 yards and a pick. Blake Corum, 73 yards rushing and a touchdown. Davis Jr., 79 yards and a touchdown. So maybe something there in the running game for UNLV. Roman Wilson, 78 yards and 3 touchdowns. There isn't a whole lot to preview except talking about last week's 30-3 victory over East Carolina. That game proved to me that J.J. McCarthy can throw, and he can throw in very good situations, too, in hectic situations. Now, I didn't have doubts about J.J. McCarthy, okay? This wasn't one of those things. It was just a matter of, okay, now that Cade McNamara is completely gone, he is at Iowa now, so is Eric All, how does J.J. McCarthy take that next step? And although it was East Carolina, so there's always going to be that, you know, speculation and whatnot, he was able to take that next step in the first game. Blake Corum picked up where he left off. He was injured, of course, last season for the TCU game. Blake Corum picks up where he left off. J.J. McCarthy further proves himself. And you've got a situation here where UNLV should be a walk in the park. Of course, people around Las Vegas are going to want to not think that way, but that's going to be the case. Michigan is a 37.5-point favorite. The over-under on this game is 57. And so, as I've said in the past, really, Michigan is one of the hardest teams to bet against the spread because Jim Harbaugh does not care about that spread. Now you have a coaching situation that I talked about last week where in this game specifically against UNLV, Jay Harbaugh will coach the first half while Mike Hart will coach the second half. And honestly, I just don't understand it. I really don't. I mean, just have one guy coach the whole game. Come on. I mean, I get it. You want more guys to get the coaching experience while you sit because of a cheeseburger infraction, which... Yeah, I talked about that before, so I'm not going to get into that again. But nonetheless, Michigan should win this game, 42-3. So I guess 37.5, take it. Let's just get through this three-game suspension. Just like J.J. McCarthy said, I just want my coach back. Let's just get through it. Anyway, to the pick'ems. This time we have a full slate of 8 pick'ems, mostly NFL, with a bonus game on the spread. Ole Miss and Tulane. I mean, Tulane rolled last week, beat USC, of course, in the in the Cotton Bowl last year. Kelly and Vegas had them as had Tulane to lose in the Kelly and Vegas parlay that did not hit. I don't believe either of the legs hit. Maybe Toledo on the spread hit, if I'm not mistaken. Ole Miss and Tulane, really don't know much about either of these teams. It's in New Orleans, so give me Tulane. Texas and Alabama. There was, and in fact, what people don't understand is the right word, but what people don't realize about this game was that there was a safety that Texas should have had early in the second half of last year's game that had the refs called a safety, Texas would have won this game by 1 point. Now, it does change the outcome of the, it does change the effects of what would have happened on Alabama's final drive. They would have lobbied for a touchdown instead of a field goal. But still, little plays make a difference. And this game kind of shows you that. This is in Tuscaloosa. If this were in Austin, I would say Texas. Because Steve Sarkisian has got these guys playing the right way. They're going in the right direction. Quinn Ewers is playing decent. They're going in the right direction, and they're well on their way to being back. Because we always ask, is Texas back? Is Texas back? They're still not back yet. But with a win here, they will be back. Give me Alabama by a field goal because it's in Tuscaloosa. But if Texas wins, Texas truly is back. Week one games in the NFL, we got six of them. Cincinnati and Cleveland. I forget who exactly was the favorite here. I believe Cincinnati was a 1-point favorite in this game, and it serves to be about right if that's the case. Cincinnati a 2-point favorite. This game has been dominated by the road teams, it always feels like. So give me Cincinnati at First Energy Stadium, 27-24. San Francisco and Pittsburgh, a battle of teams of yesteryear. A battle of historic teams that are looking to get back onto the rise again. San Francisco, of course, being 2 years ago a Jaquiski Tartt interception away from a Super Bowl. Last year, they were a healthy quarterback away from a Super Bowl because they lost Brock Purdy on one of the first snaps of the game in Philadelphia, and there pretty much went the Niners' hopes with it. In this game, defense will dominate, but I think San Francisco will win on the road. I just think they're a better team than Pittsburgh right now. Mike Tomlin will have that team at 9-8 because they are never a losing team, but I think they start 0-1. Green Bay and Chicago, this one, we'll save that for a second because we have another 1 o'clock game that I added. Tennessee and New Orleans, this one, another seemingly battle of yesteryear teams that want to come back. New Orleans and the NFC South, that is a trash division, let me tell you. They can make a statement win here against an AFC South team that's in another really awful division except for Jacksonville. And I mean, even Jacksonville is a bit of a question mark because who can repeat in that division? Ick. Really. Yuck. Give me the Saints by a field goal because it's at the Superdome. That's the thing about these pick'em games is that when you get pick'ems, they're either going to be really good or really bad. And that could end up a really bad game. But this one could end up a really good game, Green Bay and Chicago. Not because of the Packers-Bears rivalry itself, but the fact that you have Justin Fields against Jordan Love, a battle of young quarterbacks. Justin Fields having been in the league a couple of seasons now. He is my fantasy franchise quarterback on the Dynasty League that I am in. I kept getting hounded about trading him away to no avail because I feel that Fields is the real deal. He can run the ball. I mean, throwing the ball, he's been meh. Okay, I'll take some. He's been meh throwing the ball, but running the ball, he's been solid. And you get more points running the ball than you do throwing. Of course, unless you throw for multiple touchdowns. Last I checked in DraftKings, a running touchdown is better than a throwing touchdown. 6 against 4. So that's why I'm going. That's why I've got Justin Fields as my fantasy franchise quarterback for now. This will be the Packers' first game that does not feature Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers. Geez, since Matt Flynn in 2011? Well, yeah. Maybe Deshone Kizer played for the... He was on the Browns when the Browns played the Packers. But nonetheless, that doesn't feature a franchise starting quarterback since 2011. Give me the Bears by a field goal because they are in Chicago. And I think Chicago will be better than people think this year, but they are still will not necessarily be where Detroit or Minnesota are at. Dallas and the Giants on Sunday Night Football. I mean, like I've said before on this show, Dak Prescott isn't that horrible, but they're the Cowboys. I cannot stand the Cowboys. We know how I feel about the Cowboys. Give me the Giants by 10. Buffalo and the Jets, Aaron Rodgers' first game as a New York Jet. Does the script remain the same like it did for Brett Favre when he was a New York Jet? That remains to be seen, and we shall see in New York on Monday night. Against the Bills, though, this is a rough game to pick because both are going to be good teams in a good AFC East division. Does it bother me that the Patriots could finish last in this division? Not really. But it's a real possibility. Because you've got the Bills that probably should win this division. The Jets that should go in as a wild card. The Dolphins, if they play to their abilities and Tua doesn't get hurt, they could also be a wild card. And you're left with the Patriots. Mac Jones. No more Bailey Zappi. Bailey Zappi season is done. Bills Jets at the Jets on Monday night. Aaron Rodgers' debut. Script is kind of there. Give me the Jets by a field goal. Buffalo wins the return game in Buffalo. Bonus game. Ball State in Georgia. If you know how the bonus game works, bonus game is highest spread. Does the team that is favored cover the spread? Ball State against Georgia. Georgia is a 42-point favorite. Obviously, give me Georgia on the money line, but not against the spread. There's been... Geez, how do I say it right? There's been a lot of stuff that's been happening behind the scenes at Georgia. Does not necessarily involve on the field. But... they just can't seem to keep the same exact team with them every single day of the week. It's a mystery. And I think it costs them a spread here. Not a game, but a spread. Reviewing your pick-ems. Ole Miss and Tulane. Give me Tulane. Texas and Alabama. Bama by a field goal. Cincinnati and Cleveland. Give me the Bengals. San Francisco and Pittsburgh. Give me the Niners. Green Bay and Chicago. Give me Da Bears. Tennessee and New Orleans, give me the Saints. Dallas and the Giants, give me the Giants. And Buffalo and the Jets, give me the Jets. And the bonus game, Ball State on the spread, but Georgia on the money line. So with that all said, this has been your Detroit Sports Week edition of the Tom Green Podcast for this week. It's fun to be a Lions fan right now. It truly, truly is. And let's hope these fun times continue throughout the season. Because I want some positivity on the Lions. We've been, years and years we've been hoping for this positivity for the Lions. And it's looking like we are finally about to get it. And I really hope it lasts this season and for years to come. Because I want to see a home playoff game. Man, that Ford Field crowd is going to be electric if we get that home field crowd. Podcast next week, we're looking at just a single podcast with kind of like this format. Prepare to come on and join me in another rant from yours truly. We are going to be 13 episodes away from episode number 200, so stick around for that once the time comes on that. And with that all said, enjoy Michigan football and enjoy the week. In Detroit Sports, we'll be back later next week.